This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're recording.
We're recording a podcast?
We're recording
a pod.
Everybody clear your throat. What's your name?
My name's Karen Colgara.
That's cool.
What's your name?
Georgia Hardstark.
And what are we here to do?
Talk about Moira.
Let's do accents the whole time.
Lucky.
That's all I got.
I'll do British.
Okay.
I'm going to have to slide into it. It's going to take a while. I really have to concentrate. Hello, Governor. What do you got, a murder for me? Shoot. Hey, hi, everybody.
Hi, welcome to My Favorite Murder. This is Karen in Georgia.
And we're here to talk about your favorite murders and ours.
Yep.
That's what we ours. Do. If you just found this randomly, if you were just entering random words on iTunes and you found our podcast, welcome. You might bum out.
You might get bummed out. There are...
Or you might fall in love.
You might fall in love with murder. Trigger warning. Should we do trigger warning?
Yep.
Murder, clearly, if you didn't figure that one out.
And peanuts. Peanut warning.
Peanut.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not this again.
Oh, no.
There's also several large penises in this podcast. Mm-hmm. Keep your eye peeled.
Okay, so before we get into this week's favorite murder.
Oh, Georgia's got some papers. She's got some serious business over there.
Well, I want to discuss. Okay, so we have a Facebook group for My Favorite Murder that is unbelievably awesome.
Pretty great.
2,200 people now.
Wow.
This is our 11th episode, and we have 22 people. Nope. 2,200 people in it. And for the most part, they're cool. I had to kick a guy out. This week, he was being a creeper. He was being a creep.
Is it the guy that posted the thing about how to check yourself for ovarian cancer?
What?
Did you see that
I think
one?
It was probably him. He posted like, hey, you guys like beards? Or like, what do you do if a guy's following you at night? Like, really inappropriate.
Oh.
It wasn't like, it was just weird.
Yes.
And the majority of the people in the group are female. And they were all like, hey, Georgia, can you kick this guy out?
Yeah.
So I kicked him off. And then someone wrote something about like politics. Like, and I deleted their post, but I didn't delete them. So,
because you just didn't want to have it be a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I wrote a thing like, "Let's just talk about murder, everyone."
Yeah, we're not there to have it all turn into anything really, except for a forum for what everybody's creepy, funny interest is.
It's funny that in a Facebook group, writing and talking about murder, I have to be like, "You're inappropriate." You have to be so inappropriate to get kicked out of a fucking murder group.
Yeah. Well, but the other thing too, what I found, and I was on there for a little while, and then I told Georgia the story of how I'm so afraid because I went back to Facebook and I don't want them to alert all my lunatic,
we need to be back.
The people that I went to camp with who made me leave in the first place.
Yeah. Karen's back.
I was afraid it was going to go through all my email addresses and just be like, yeah, guess what, everybody? So I tried to change my email. Anyway, what ended up happening is I got locked out of my own new Facebook thing.
Sucks.
So it bums me out because I was on there for 3 days going crazy. I mean, I wanted to comment on what everybody was talking about.
I have it's getting overwhelming, but there's so many great, there's so much great shit and you can just post one little thing and everyone just writes stuff.
And people are so funny and smart. See, that's the thing is that I think maybe a creeper or an outsider of any kind, it just shows immediately because everybody's just on task.
Totally.
Man or woman. Everybody there is there to have very specific types of conversations, and they're not even all about murder.
No, and they know their shit. One person will be like, you get a lot of of posts saying, like, what was the murder that triggered it for you and that made you obsessed with it? Or what was, you know, the hometown murder thing is people are obsessed with that.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of really smart questions and then really smart answers.
It's great.
And I think, yeah, as soon as some guy was like writing something that clearly had nothing to do with it, people were annoyed.
Well, and also that's like a weird dude that walks up to you and your friends at a bar of like, hey, what do you guys think of beards? Where it's like, we think go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and they don't get it.
Yeah.
I've had those. I'm not nice about that anymore. You comfy?
Yes. Well, I was like, I realized that I was perpendicular to you, like looking at you out of the corner of my eye.
That's how I like to talk to people.
And that's kind of, I wasn't trying to be coy.
Oh, so I didn't tell you this. I'm listening to, and I know you are too, the You Must Remember This podcast about Charlie Manson.
Yes.
It's like a 7-part.
It's a 7-parter. The last episode I listened to was Dennis Wilson.
I'm listening to that right now.
Oh, I love it. How many celebrity name drops are in that?
So many.
It's hilarious. It's like Angela Lansbury's daughter hung out with the Charles Manson family and like would charge food on her mom's credit card until Angela Lansbury was like, cancel the card, get the hell out of there.
Do you ever reconcile that you thought Charlie Manson was cool? Like, do you ever reconcile Ann Rule thinking that Ted Bundy was a nice guy? I don't think you ever can trust yourself again. Or is it like a compartmentalized thing?
No, you can't. Here's why I think you could. First of all, Angela Lansbury's daughter was very young. She was probably in her early 20s, if not teens.
Okay.
So you get a pass if you're young and dumb and it's summertime and you're probably on acid.
Yeah.
Anybody with long hair and like a weird take on life is going to be interesting to you, I bet.
It's funny how in past episodes you and I have been like, well, how close have you been to getting murdered? And you're like, one time I walked to my car alone and like Angela Lansbury's daughter was like, well, I used to fucking take acid with Charlie Manson.
I chilled out with Charlie Manson for a summer before I went to Europe. But Anne Rule has like the perfect excuse because Ted Bundy was the ultimate. Yeah. You had to really hang out with Ted Bundy before you caught on that something weird was happening. Yeah. He had his act down pat.
Good for him.
So what's she supposed to, I mean, he cared, he acted like he cared about her. He wasn't like a creep to Anne Rule. He was sweet to her.
Do you kind of wish like standing in front of us right now, we're like, okay, let's say there's like 5 dudes and one of them is sociopath. Do you think after talking to them for like, you get to ask each one 3 questions.
Yeah.
Do you think you could pick out which one is a sociopath?
I think, well, sociopaths are hard though, because their whole game in life is to win, to beat people, to be.
Right.
So they want to trick you. They're going to do anything they can to so, not like, get found out.
But I would
out.
Think that the nicest dude or the most normal seeming dude would be the sociopath. And they're like, no, dude, the emo kid in the corner.
So
is
do
like
you
not-
accuse Vince of being a sociopath all the time?
No, because he is. No, because he's nice, but he's not a pushover.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. But that reminds me. Okay. I put up in the Facebook group. Because remember a couple episodes ago, we talked about how you hate 911 calls.
Yes.
And we talked about how when a husband kills his wife and then calls 911 and pretends like he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you guess which one was real and which one wasn't?
And I said I could, right?
Yeah. And so we have to wait till Dustin's recording us next time because Dustin's not here because I need someone to play. I don't want to listen. I want us both to play. I got a bunch of people to fucking put 911 calls in the comments of our Facebook group.
So we can actually play the game that we made up?
Yeah. So we're going to have Dustin
pick. God bless you, listeners.
I mean, it sounds like the worst game in the history of the world.
Should we wait till Halloween? Or some terrible holiday that's scary?
Listen, there was enough that we could do it every fucking day of our lives, which is so fucked up.
I don't want to.
I don't either, but we have to for science podcasting.
Here's the thing, though. Because when you listen to a person talk like that, it sends alarm bells. Yeah. It's like very, I want to say reptilian, but it's like, it's
adrenaline.
Innate. It's old. It's like alarm bells go off of like, if a man shrieks, that's an unnatural sound.
Definitely.
They're not supposed to make that sound.
I feel like we're going to have to both close our eyes, give ourselves,
lay down on the ground,
kill ourselves, and then listen to them.
And then put some stuff in our ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a terrible, horrible, hilarious game that I might do one round of.
We'll have Dustin pick 3 out. One of them will be real, so we don't have to listen to too many real ones.
Perfect.
Okay.
Nice.
They're never real. And everyone kills their wives.
It's a very common practice.
What else?
Oh, I was going to say, last week I called that podcast, Crime Garage, about 90 times. It's called the True Crime Garage.
And
which
they
is
commented
logical.
And we're like, hey guys.
Did they comment?
Didn't you see? Yeah, I think it was them.
I was locked out. Remember? Locked out of Facebook.
No. On our Twitter. My Fave Murder at Twitter.
Twitter? They talked to us directly?
Yeah.
I have been off social media because this goddamn job.
This goddamn awesome job you have.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not McDonald's. Yeah, they commented and were like,
did they say get our name right? Were they mad?
They were like, lol, thank you.
Oh,
they
nice.
They were cool.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow, we have a real reach. Speaking of which, we found out.
Oh, my God.
Dustin sent us a picture. Go ahead.
You do it.
He sent us a little screen grab, and we are number 75 on the iTunes podcast list.
Comedy podcast list.
Is it comedy?
Yeah. Which is fucking huge.
It's humongous.
We've done this once a week for 11 weeks. That's not a lot.
Thank you so much, you guys. Here's what I love is when people, I now only can see it on Twitter because I've been locked out of Facebook. Goddamn Facebook. But on Twitter, what I love is when people are like, you would like this. And
yes.
It's our, you know, listeners recommending and telling people.
Tell a friend. Always tell a friend.
Everybody's doing a lot of great. It's like we got a street team.
Totally.
People are doing great work.
Dustin was telling me that the way you get your numbers up the way you get in those lists is people rating and reviewing and then downloading too. But you have to download from iTunes to get those numbers.
Oh, okay.
But. Like if
you're doing it
for like Apple, you know, so if you have a podcast thing, which I do.
So they register it.
Yeah.
So well, thank you for doing it, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
It's really exciting and a huge compliment.
For a podcast with two female hosts, neither of which are married to big podcasting bigwigs, comedy bigwigs. No offense to those who are.
Careful, Flame War.
Do I need to edit that out?
I don't think so. It just depends on how you meant it.
Or have a famous or male comedian on the podcast with them.
Look, at the end of the day, two girls who are talking about the one thing that they thought they weren't allowed to talk about,
totally.
Which is loving murder.
Totally.
And it's working out nice. We're glad that people like it.
Did I just flame war so hard?
You did not. There's so many people that could have been.
I know.
Truly.
And I don't care. That was George. That was Karen who said that. I mean.
Yeah, that's all me.
Karen, it's your turn.
Is it my turn to go first this week?
If you want, I'm happy to if you don't.
Guys, this week, our theme is cannibalism.
Which I think I didn't realize how rough it was going to be.
And I kind of touched on it last week with the Vampire Sacramento. But he was, I mean, what I realized in reading is, yes, it's rough. It's super gross.
I have something to read you.
And there's all different kinds.
I have something to read Karen about when I was like, I don't know about cannibalism. And you said, and you texted me back. Hold on. Let me see here. I said, what if we were talking about maybe it'll be cannibalism. And I said, what if the theme is, what if they're innocent? And you wrote, I feel like cannibalism would be easier for me. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to do a bunch of like,
yeah,
will they, won't they? What I enjoy is when you know for a fact someone has murdered 12 children.
They were caught with like human flesh in their oven.
Some horrible, yeah. I like deep horror as opposed to like, could he be in jail?
Yeah.
And that's just sad. But also I meant it because it's like, I basically off the top of my head was like, well, there's classic Albert Fish. Everybody, you know, that's that thing of like, he's, you know, he's an all-star. So.
And there's Dahmer. Everyone knows Dahmer.
Everybody knows Dahmer. And if you haven't heard last podcast on the left's Dahmer, I think it's a 3-part series, 2 or 3-part. It's very perfectly researched, of course, Marcus Parks, but also hilariously funny.
I gotta say about speaking of, we were talking about, you must remember this and Dahmer. I don't care about either of those cases.
Manson or Dahmer?
I'm really bored by Arrest. You must remember this. I know that's
as a podcast. It's
as a story.
You're flaming out tonight.
As a story.
You're just like,
I know, I'm like, I don't like anything, but when children get
murdered. No. I 100% agree with you that somebody, I think on Twitter recommended the You Must Remember This right. Manson series. And my sass remark back immediately was, I don't like hippies. It's someone that I know or talk to, so it wasn't too mean. Yeah. But that's my thing is that, yeah, Charles Manson is, it's just random. And then Jeffrey Dahmer is just like one guy being gross. Yeah. And I like more of a planny, processy, a true serial killer. Well, I guess he was in that way, but like, as I've said a million times, I tend more toward like Seven, the movie Seven, where it's like notebooks, weird shit hung in your apartment.
Obsessive.
Well, he had shit all over
his apartment. I guess I'm less interested in serial killers these days than I am in either one-off murders or even multiple murders, but not a serial killer. I just don't think I'm as interested anymore in that as much as people who fucking snap.
Hmm.
I guess sociopaths and psychopaths bore me because there's no explanation. There's no like understanding them. I hate being so far away from, I hate saying I don't understand at all how they could have done that. I want like a, well, I've been pissed off or I've been with this person who is a psychopath. Like I understand.
That's fascinating because I'm exactly the opposite.
That's why this is a perfect fucking duo.
Hello, yin and yang.
Take a shot. Karen just sang something.
I have to do it. It's one of my oldest habits.
I love it.
I guess I like the psychological, what the hell is going on? And people don't really have the answer. I like the fact that the human brain is such a mystery.
Yeah.
And what's behind everything.
I don't like when the trial is open and close. I want it to be so complicated and so insane and weird and circumstantial and this and that we don't really know completely. And also it was like a temporary insanity or, you know, which I don't believe in at all, but.
Right. I also like when we were talking about The Staircase, stories like that. And if you haven't seen The Staircase, it's a documentary series. It's amazing. And you should definitely see it if you care about true crime because it's got everything.
Yeah.
What I love about it is it's something great to talk about. Like everyone I know has a completely different opinion and there's still new stuff coming in. The thing about the blood spatter expert just being a complete fraud is amazing. And it's like, it's the story's always developing.
Well, that's why
I
did like the Jinx is that he killed circumstantially. He killed because the circumstances demanded it.
Yes.
His wife was going to leave him. His neighbor was going to snitch on him.
Mm-hmm.
His best friend was figuring
was
his
gonna
shit
snitch
out.
On him. Yeah.
So he had to kill, you know, like, I mean, he didn't clearly, but I love that person's brain thought these ways. He wasn't a psychopath who enjoyed murder. It was like this, he's such a fucking narcissist that these were that was the means to the end.
But I think you could argue he did enjoy some of it because he was so tricky when he killed the woman who was his good friend. I can't remember her name now. That whole thing where he flew into like Northern California and drove down. So it's like, I wasn't in Los Angeles. Like,
but just the fact, you know, he shot her in the back of the head, meaning he couldn't look her in the face when he killed her.
True.
Because there were emotions there.
Yeah, he knew her and he had grown up with her.
Totally.
What a creep.
He walked her down the aisle when she got married.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So he, like little things like that, you know, it's not like those little things I think are so the serial killers, like even Ted Bundy, which I read all about when I was like 14 and like,
yes.
Serial killer, like the occult shit. But then got older and was like, this isn't how life is. Life is ugly and weird and creepy and spur of the moment and you make
and
stupid.
Ted Bundy's beautiful.
And Ted Bundy is calculated.
Oh, yes. Like organized.
Right.
Yes, yes, yes. I get it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And wait, what about cannibalism?
Oh, I guess I was saying like in the first pass of looking at different, all the choices we had. And I know people were posting. So if whatever you find here, if it does or does not satisfy you, go to our Facebook page because people started posting stories, what they like. And that's always a great thing too, is that no matter what happens here, there's a bunch of options on the Facebook page.
Yeah. And sometimes we'll have our murder, but the thing that either Karen and I are focusing on is a part of it that we find interesting.
Yeah.
Like we're not going to tell you from start to finish, the murder.
We can't do a seven-part series. We don't have the attention span.
I'm sorry, what?
But I was going to say...
do you see how cute my cat is?
I do.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were serious. I thought we were both joking.
No, I was just going to say, I love You Must Remember This because those ones that are like fully produced, she's got music cues, her speaking
excellent
voice
writing.
Is perfect. The writing is amazing.
Beautiful.
I just keep thinking of how she's taking so much research and making it a fascinating story.
She is doing a great fucking job.
Yeah.
I just don't care about Manson. But I'm going to listen to the whole thing because it's still
history.
I
didn't think I cared about Manson. I started listening to it because I had a long drive home one night and I was like, I'm not going to listen to the radio. And by the end of the first episode, I was like, I am in this. I want to hear whatever you have to tell me. Because she folds in all the Angela Lansbury shit that you didn't even know was in there in the first place.
The connections and like why he came to L.A., which is like, I didn't know why he came to Los Angeles and like what a fucking little, you know, where he met. A lot of the Manson followers.
Yeah.
Well, but the podcast I love even more because there's no explanation and it's empty is Someone Knows Something. Did you listen to the new episode?
No, I'm not caught up.
My Lord.
Are you mad at me?
No, I'm like, that was a, I can't deal with this podcast sigh because it's so good.
Oh, don't tell me. Anything.
I'm not going to tell you, but you need to listen to the, listen. If you haven't listened to Someone Knows Something, listen from the very beginning.
It's
season is about one story and it's fucking incredible.
It's really good. Oh, also I was going to say, people were talking on for the 4 minutes I was on the Facebook page. I'm just going to keep harping on it. Like as if I got kicked out on a personal level, but.
Well, I did write a letter to Facebook. I was like, can you get this bitch out of here?
Dear Facebook. There, at one point, there was a whole thread about people liking or not liking certain podcasts. And I actually made this comment, but I don't think it ended up on there, which has started my problem of how I ended up getting kicked off. But, what I was saying is, this is kind of the beauty of it. There's a million true crime podcasts to listen to. And it really is like having to sit with people for an hour. So like,
totally.
I remember there was a guy on the Facebook page that talked about how he didn't love our female ramblings. And I could not stop laughing.
He
I was like,
said that?
Yeah, but it was like, it was as if he liked it anyway, where I was like, well, what the fuck else is there of not female ramblings on this fucking podcast?
Our ramblings of being scared of being murdered when we're walking down the street.
But still, my point is that everybody's looking for a certain thing in a podcast. And so, like, I love Last Podcast on the Left because it's all the comedy I love. I adore Henry Zebrowski. Then you've got all this fucking research. So you're really there's so much takeaway.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many choices. So, we know that when you fly, you have a lot of choices in the air, and thank you for flying with us.
It is nice that like I do like that we talk about other podcasts and how much we like them and we promote them because we're not the only ones. We're doing something very specific, I think.
Yeah. And
so even like, I guess Lore, someone did, last week mine was Who Put Bella in the Witch Elm, and I think they did it too.
Last week?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
So, but
people love Lore. I keep hearing about
that
one.
Yeah, I do too. But I guarantee it's not the same thing that we did.
No,
and ours is probably.
No. All right.
Oh, and people love your Banksy comment, by the way.
Which was, what was
that
it?
That people were doing graffiti about who put Bella in the Witch Elm, and you go, that's where Banksy started.
Jesus.
Oh, you.
Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, I want to try that?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's Self-Expression and Authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Okay, all right, Karen. So let's get into cannibalism. No, let's keep on talking about podcasting instead of actually doing it. That's what's really interesting. So I'm basically saying that when I looked, it's like Albert Fish, check. We've heard about it. We know about it. He's a fucking creepy old man. Then there was
Karen,
the guy.
I did Albert Fish.
Did you really?
No. Yes, go on.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Okay, go ahead.
Shit, sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Now I'm afraid to say my second example. But I'm just saying my thinking. Yeah. I was trying to be exciting.
I get it.
You went classic.
I did go classic.
You did a classic. What I was saying is I didn't feel like doing the serious homework because Albert Fish killed fucking 400 people.
Yeah, there was a lot of info. So I summarized.
Okay, good. I went, which I think you might like because this is what you're just saying you like, kind of a one-hit wonder killer.
Dig it.
It's the cannibal bus killer from Manitoba. And this was a thing that I remember. It happened in 2008. When it came on the news, I was by myself in my house, of course, and I was staring at the TV like, what is happening? And so here in a nutshell, if you've never heard it, it's insane. On a Greyhound bus, and they were going between Manitoba and Brandon, which I believe is a very small town, and it's a very long space between the two cities.
So not a lot of places to stop and get food.
Exactly.
So you're hungry.
It's just all these people on this bus, and at noon, a man named Vincent Lee got on the bus, and he went, and he sat next to a guy named Tim McLean. Tim was asleep, wearing headphones, listening to music. He's a carnival worker, and he was 22.
Oh, fuck.
And at some point, an hour into the trip, at first, Lee was sitting up near the front, near the bus driver, and then he went back and sat next to McLean. Then he pulled out a machete.
No.
He started stabbing him.
Don't.
And he began to decapitate him.
Have you ever seen a machete?
No, in real life.
Aren't those like really big?
They're quite large. He had a concealed machete on his person.
Ooh, so he begins to decapitate him.
So the bus driver, everyone, of course, now this is me filling in the blank. I would imagine started screaming.
Sure.
Right?
But you could probably do that quietly.
Oh my God. Yeah, or like the staring where you can't scream because you can't take in
what's happening. No, I mean, he could probably stab him, machete him quietly.
Oh no. No, he didn't.
He didn't.
No, because he was standing.
Okay, he's one crazy.
And everyone was around. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bus filled with people. Okay. The bus driver pulls over, opens the door. Everyone runs off. The chronology didn't seem clear to me, but it sounded like a couple of the men and the bus driver tried to go back to do something about
it. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
And the killer had decapitated him and was holding his head up.
He was already decapitated.
And so they got off the bus.
Was he decapitated? Was his head off before he died?
You die. Once you cut that jugular,
okay. It
goes very quickly. Okay. And also he was stabbed in the chest and in the neck.
I fucking hate cannibals.
This is
I hate this topic.
It's a terrible fucking topic. Okay. So, and this is, I think, the worst of. I went as bad as you can go.
I did too.
Yours is horrible. So let me get through mine so
okay.
we can get to yours.
Sorry.
No. So, they close the bus doors and barricade it somehow. I think someone said that they threw up like a crowbar or something so that the bus doors wouldn't open. The fucking guy, Vincent Lee, holds out the decapitated head, and there's eyewitness statements that say that he looked completely calm, like nothing was happening, and held it out and this one guy said dropped it on the ground. I don't know if that meant he held it out of the bus window and dropped it on the ground, but usually Greyhound bus windows don't work like that. So held it out and then dropped it inside the bus or whatever.
And he was completely calm while he was doing this.
Completely calm. And then, started banging his own head against the window really hard over and over. And so what is happening? And this is, as I was putting this together, I was like, cops come. Like, this is a one-off. This is, you know, whatever, a crazy attack, like a berserk moment, the end.
Yeah.
But they're so far out in the middle of nowhere. It takes the cops. This happened. They got on the bus at noon. And the cops showed up at 8:30 at night.
No.
So I think they were a couple, like an hour or so into this trip, but like they had to sit on the side of the road.
What would you have done? I would have latered so hard.
Well, yeah, you just fucking go running, but you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Fuck.
And what was that?
I don't know. Someone's getting murdered.
That was a weird.
I think
hopefully it was laughing.
It was laughing because my neighbors like to play beer pong.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Yeah, we're fine.
Jesus Christ. So,
no, it was a maniacal.
It sounded
cackling.
Like a human sized chicken.
It was a maniacal human chicken cackling.
And I'm just picturing this. So it's like you're sitting there's a guy having a psychotic episode trapped on the bus. And so as he's either pacing back and forth on the bus, or what has, as they say in the Wikipedia article, defiling the body.
Oh, dear.
So I went into a couple
poor guy,
articles. I know it's crazy, but it was over for him fast. Let's both hold on to that.
Family, like,
no, it's awful for them. It's terrible.
Imagine living your life for 22 years just to be defiled on a Greyhound bus of all places.
I'm sure he did other great stuff though.
Probably.
I mean, to focus on that. Okay. But here's the thing. So. He's either, because let's not go too far down that, because it's going to ruin this part.
Hey.
where I say he was either pacing up and down or defiling the body, which meant he poked out the eyes.
Nope.
Uh-huh. He was cutting off body parts.
Mm-mm.
When the cops finally got there and they finally it was 1:30 in the morning when they finally tased him because they couldn't figure out how to. At one point, the killer tried to drive the bus away, and the bus driver had like a one of those things, like a remote making the bus not drive away. You know, those things.
Sure. Do you think people were watching? I feel like I wouldn't watch.
They said that people were sitting huddled on the side of the road, crying and vomiting.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
Sounds about right.
But you're like kind of stuck there. I'm sure you're trying not to go away from it, and you don't know where this guy's going to go.
Like, are people driving by? Can you hitchhike?
I mean, maybe, but like, you're also in a state of shock. That's like the craziest thing to witness close up.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got him off the bus, they had to bag up the body.
It was
so badly attacked. And his nose and nose, ears, and tongue was in this killer's pockets.
Pockets?
He'd put them in his pockets.
Oh, my Lord.
And he had also been eating him in that period of time. And at one point, he started screaming, I will be on this bus forever.
What did we find out about him?
So, it turns out this was a man who had very bad schizophrenia. He was a Chinese immigrant who moved to Canada, who was like a computer engineer in China, moved to Canada, and of course had a bunch of shitty jobs, three jobs at a time, doing a lot of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, he started, and when he was like, I think in his early 30s, he started hearing the quote unquote voice of God. And so he had already been picked up once before for like the voice of God had been telling him to go here and go there. And like the cops picked him up. So, but he didn't know what schizophrenia was. And so he was untreated for any mental problem. So when this came around, he'd already been doing a bunch of weird shit. He had the machete on him. He had sold his laptop for $60 to a kid at a bus stop.
Well, that's how you know he's crazy. It's $60.
$60. It was a Dell. but he had become convinced that God wanted him to kill because aliens were going to attack, and it was the only way that people could be saved. He had, the voice had told him that this guy sitting on this bus, he had to be killed to save everybody else.
I mean, how do you argue with that? What, reality is subjective.
Yeah, and he has no idea. Like, he's not in anywhere close to reality anymore.
Yeah, there's no break of being like, oh shit, I'm not doing well.
No. No, he's fully, like, doing what the voices tell him mode. And on top of all of that, I mean, not just, like, you've seen schizophrenic people on the street. Mm-hmm. He's way past that because he fucking ate parts of this guy. Jeez. So now he's, so that happened in 2008. The most recent article I found was from February 26, 2016. He has been in a mental hospital all this time, and slowly but surely since he's been on this medication. Oh, when he was arrested, he just kept telling people to kill him. So he was like, he knew what he did. Mm-hmm. He like became aware slowly but surely, or maybe that was in court when he first appeared in court. He said, you should kill me. I want to die. Then I read another interview with him that was from like 2 years ago where someone said, are you happy? And he said, no. And then he said, I will never be happy. Ugh. But the most recent article.
I can live with that. I can live with him never being happy.
Well, how could you be? Yeah. I mean, like, it's a horrifying thing.
Even if you get sane, you have the realization that you did this thing. Yes. All right, go on. So
yeah, he's in a prison, but, he just won the right to live on his own. And he's changed his name to Will Baker.
Explain my face right now.
Yeah, George's entire face dropped 4 inches when I just said he won the right to live on his own. What? Yeah, in Canada, it's like basically he's slowly but surely, and he's thoroughly monitored. So it just means he doesn't live in a group home.
I just rolled my eyes so hard my head hurts.
Yeah. I know. You should see these Reddit the conversations that people are having between you know, mentally ill people need to be able to learn to live in reality, and people going, he ate this man's eyes.
And like, listen, as crazy. Someone with like basic run-of-the-mill depression and anxiety, I know that the first instinct when you start taking pills and they work is that you say, I'm fine now, and you stop taking them.
Yeah. Yes. Like,
that's the instinct.
And with this guy, which several people argued on Reddit, when he stops taking his pills, people get eaten and macheted on a bus.
I can't breathe.
It's crazy. It's very terrible. At the time, Greyhound was running an ad campaign that was, there's a reason you've never heard of bus rage, and they had to cancel that campaign.
And also bullshit from the beginning. Have you been on a fucking Greyhound?
Yeah, exactly. The Greyhound is one of the scariest ways.
I took one ride in my life, and it was very pleasant. It was from San Francisco to here, but I fucking know how not normal that is.
How old were you?
27.
Because when I was like in eighth grade, I took the Greyhound bus from Petaluma to Ukiah.
Your parents let you do that?
Yeah. I think my mom thought it would be like good experience, right, or whatever, which is like, yeah, you'd think, oh yeah, nothing can happen. Like, what would happen? Anything can fucking happen. Anything. I mean, whatever.
Especially when we clearly have known from this podcast from the beginning that everything terrible that has ever happened happens in Northern California.
Yeah, that's exactly. There's like the early meth era.
Oh, totally.
I mean, we did meth before anybody did meth.
Oh man, you and I are like original meth heads.
We're
which is why we got over it.
OG meth crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like biker meth.
Totally.
Crazy. And there was also PETA tried to run an ad in the local newspaper about comparing this murder to eating animals.
Absolutely.
And the newspaper
not.
Was like, gefuck yourself.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Gefuck yourself is like what I'm going to say when someone sneezes from now on.
Oh, gefuck yourself.
Did she just say? She
did not say that to me. And I guess in closing and in summation, if you go read the details of this, there's...
What was his name again, so we can look it up?
His name, the killer's name was Vincent Lee L.I. is how he spells his last name, mm-hmm. L.I. But he has legally changed it to Will Baker now. And I'm sure that people are... there's death threats left, right, and center for this guy. So I don't... It's such a terrible scenario. But I feel like... I was trying to suss out my feelings on it. It's like... I feel like after you machete and eat a person on a bus, you just don't get to ever leave a mental hospital, even if your pills work.
No.
Even if you're sad.
Totally. You'd, especially if you're sad.
Yeah.
This is, okay, I gotta say, part of the reason I chose Albert Fish is because I didn't want to choose someone who's still alive, because the majority of those people who have fucking done this are out of prison.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to piss off some satanic fucking vampire cannibalist person.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I highly doubt he can get a passport, though. So
I feel really guilty about what I said about Albert Fish, because I couldn't be more interested.
Oh, I know. I don't care. Okay. I mean, I care.
Are you going to stop texting me? I need you in my life.
I meant that I know that you weren't being negative about it. The reason... Is there anything you want to add to that? I'm sorry. I cut you off.
No. No, just, you know, watch out for machetes.
That is a good one-off one, because... I do. It is interesting that this person just—they didn't just snap.
No, no, that's untreated mental illness, advanced mental illness. If you think God is talking to you, if you think aliens are doing anything, you need pills.
Listen, we all wish aliens and ghosts existed, but you're probably just mentally ill.
It could be that, or look, even if they do or whatever, but if God is telling you stuff. Yeah. That's when you gotta, like, you really have to go to the doctor. Please.
If you're, my cat tells me stuff all the time.
Oh, I'm sure that's fine.
But it's usually
anyway,
sweet
should
stuff.
Should we stop the podcast now? It's sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Kill your neighbor.
Kill your neighbor.
In the sweetest voice.
I love you. Kill your neighbor. All right. So I did Albert Fish because it troubled me so much when I first heard about it. Because I think it was like, it was one of, his first kidnapping was in 1924. So yeah, his first kidnapping was in 1924, which is like one of the earliest recorded. Nope. It's just an early kidnapping, which I'm always fascinated with. Vintage
crimes. You think I was arguing with you?
Yeah.
No, I was going like, holy fuck.
Oh, like, you're like, nope. I thought you were shaking your head. No. I was like, no. Oh.
No, I was thinking about like, that's back before phone. Probably most people had phones in their house,
yeah.
Right? This is like so early days of like, if a kid goes missing, they're like, they're at their friends. Are they?
Yeah. And because especially, you know, these are all, a lot of people are immigrants. Child labor is a thing. So kids aren't kids. They're tiny hands to do day labor with.
It's like the dark ages.
Yeah.
1924.
Yeah. In New York City.
Ugh.
So yeah. So it's actually, I'm sorry. It's Hamilton Howard, quote, Albert Fish, born in 1870. He's known as the Gray Man, the Werewolf of Wisteria, the Brooklyn Vampire, the Moon Maniac, and the Boogeyman.
Oh, he's the Boogeyman.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about him.
Yes. So he was born, his mom put him into an orphanage pretty early, and he was immediately treated sadistically.
Oh,
so,
no.
So, like, he was, like, bred to be a serial killer.
Yeah.
Then he began to enjoy the physical pain, which is like, oh, you're doubly silly. And then he remarked on his time at the orphanage, I was there till I was nearly nine. And that's when I got started wrong. We were unmercifully whipped. I saw boys doing many things that they should not have done. I don't know what accent I was going for in that entire thing.
I liked it. It was a light British.
Off. Thank you.
It was kind of like a Katharine Hepburn thing.
Oh, thank you.
You know, high class.
Yeah. I'm wearing pants. So okay, so I'm gonna paraphrase it. There's a lot of shit about him being into weird stuff like drinking urine and learning about eating bodies and how good it tasted and like lots of little things like that. And
as a kid
and as he grew up, he had six children that he never physically attacked, supposedly.
Wow.
Which is bananas. Although he did encourage them and their friends, how embarrassing would this be, to paddle his buttocks with the same nail-studded paddle he used to abuse himself. Sounds like a real fun guy.
Like, so you're at your friend's house, like, hey, come over and we'll play with this hoop and stick like we like to in the 20s. And then the dad comes down and is like, guys, come over here.
Paddle my butt.
Oh, with nails in a board?
How did that even, I mean.
I'm telling.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got into raw meat. He started suffering from psychosis.
He got into raw meat.
He started eating raw meat because he was like obsessed with cannibalism. He felt that God was commanding him to torture and sexually mutilate children.
Ding, ding. Red flag.
Hey, call the cops on yourself. Well, yeah. So the murder that really stuck out for me of him that I've always was so troubled with, and when I think back about murder, I think of this, was Grace Budd. Basically, Fish saw a classified ad in the Sunday edition of the New York World that read, "Young man, 18, wishes position in country." So he basically answered an ad for someone needing work in Manhattan. He visited the family under the pretense of hiring this guy. And later he confessed that he was actually going to kill this guy. And then he met the daughter, Grace Budd, and was like, nope, going to kill this one and eat her instead.
So,
let's see. He met Grace and he made up a story about having to attend his niece's birthday party. And this is the fucking time. They just let her go with this nicely dressed, probably old man.
Who came to their house to respond to a wanted ad?
Yeah, but he had come a couple times.
Okay.
Which is like trusted.
Best friends.
Yep. And okay. Like you let your kids go places. And that thing of like always trusting authority.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's got a pocket watch. Nothing can happen.
Yeah. My mom's doctor as a child made out with her. As a small child.
And
she didn't tell anyone because you just fucking trust authority. You trust grown-ups.
Wow.
Should I not have told that? It's okay. My mom doesn't have the last name as me, so it's fine.
Yeah.
You just trust people.
Well, it's mind-blowing. It's just mind-blowing of like a doctor. I would never think that.
Yeah, it's that thing of like, I wonder, would I have said something back then, you know, if an older person had done something inappropriate? You trust them.
And if they're good, they know how to shame you into keeping your mouth shut.
Totally. Well, he convinced the parents to let Grace accompany him to the party that evening. And Grace left with Fish and never returned. And then he sent them a fucking letter. I'm going to read a part of it.
Okay.
So he was talking about cannibalism and about the olden days and saying that there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was from $1 to $3 a pound. So great was the suffering among the very poor that all children under 12 were sold for food in order to keep others from starving. A boy or girl under 14 was not safe in the street. You could go in any shop and ask for steak. And part of the naked body of a boy or girl would be brought out and just what you wanted cut from it. This is why I had a problem with cannibalism, is the majority of it was with children.
Yes.
And
this is his letter to the family?
This is word for word part of his letter.
I don't think I've ever read any of this before.
Oh, it's fucking here. And then here's more. On Sunday, June 3rd, 1928, I called on you. I brought pot, cheese, and strawberries. We had lunch. Grace sat in my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind to eat her. On the pretense of taking her to a party, you said yes, she could go. I took her to an empty house in Westchester I had already picked out. There's some fucked up things about it that I'm not reading because they really troubled me. Mm-hmm. More so than him eating her.
No.
Basically, he said how sweet and tender her little ass was. Roasted in the oven. Ugh. It troubled me to my core, and it probably is troubling people listening to this right now, which is why I'm like, why am I reading this one?
Well, because everyone's already read it. Here's the thing about Albert Fish. You read those first two, you read the byline of Albert Fish, which is like cannibal molested and killed 400 children or whatever that crazy number is. You're going to get to this part no matter what.
He was a fucking sadist.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to torture and molestation and all of this.
And torturing the family.
Yeah. He wrote multiple letters to people, kids he had kidnapped, their families. A psychiatrist described him as looking like a meek and innocuous little old man, gentle and benevolent, friendly and polite. If you wanted someone to entrust your child to, he would be the one you chose. And if you look him up, which you can, there's a fucking his mugshot and a couple shots from him in the court. He looks like a little old meek man.
I'm going to look him up right now.
Do it.
Just so I get the visual picture.
He boasted that he had children in every state and that one time stated that the number was about 100. It's not known whether he was referring to rapes or cannibalism. Nor is it known if the statement was truthful. He confessed to molesting more than 400 children over 20 years and is believed to have murdered somewhere between 6 and 15 children.
Fuck.
He confessed to all these, and he was electrocuted. When he was electrocuted in Sing Sing, he said that the electrocution would be the supreme thrill of my life. Just before the switch was flipped.
He was an asshole.
He was a fucking asshole.
He's an asshole.
Before the switch was flipped, he said, I don't even know why I'm here. And legend has it, and I think this isn't a legend, this is true, that his execution took longer because he was really into stuffing needles up his penis.
Oh, that's right.
And the numerous needles inserted into his privates disrupted the flow of electricity. How on... You know how fucking orphanage and being raped and tortured as a child? Are you looking at him right now?
Yeah, but there's also people... This is why I love the internet. There's
oh, no.
His face is very disturbing. The eyes are dead.
Yep.
Like, the eyes are no good. But then people are making what look like inspirational posters.
Because he looks like Albert Einstein a little bit.
Yeah, it's like it says, none of us are saints. Albert Fish.
Oh, God.
Is the quote.
He's a little like Henry Ford-y looking.
Exactly.
So you wouldn't know.
Yeah. And he does look, his cheeks are all sunken.
Yeah.
So he looks like he couldn't do anything to anybody.
Totally.
He looks weak.
Totally.
That's hilariously hideous.
Man, I'm so glad we live in these days and times when you...
When you drive your children from your front door to wherever they're going and back again, and you don't ever let your daughter
never
take a Greyhound bus to Ukiah.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I would never.
It's so crazy.
What if? How old were you when you did that?
I believe I was 12.
So your niece is 11.
My niece is 9.
Okay, let's say she's
In 2-3 years that she's going to take, she's going to take a 4-hour Greyhound
bus. If you
bus.
Heard your sister let her do that.
Never.
Would you come and fucking smack your sister in the face?
I would call the police on my own sister. I don't even know what I would do. The funniest thing is the Greyhound bus, like the bus is the mode of transportation for people who have lost their driver's license for some terrible reason.
Yeah.
Like there's not great, it's not a great collection of souls.
No. I mean, look at an airplane and that's expensive.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of fucking assholes and depraved human beings, and you can't
and taking their shoes off and sticking them on the wall in front of you,
and then add to that that you can stop and get fucking fried chicken and bring it on. Not that I don't like fried chicken, but like,
but it doesn't smell good after. Well, this is the thing. There was a guy that took his shoes off next to me when I flew back from New York.
Nope.
A couple weekends ago, and I wanted to turn to him and say, "You are high if you don't think your feet smell."
My feet are right in front of your face right now.
Yeah, but you're clearly your shoes have been off all day. This guy literally was like, "Take both shoes off." Like first time his shoes had been off in a while.
No.
And they stunk.
What
and I was just like, what are you doing?
Oh, and then he took out his machete.
And then he stabbed me in the neck, severed my head, held it out, dropped it on the ground.
I hope we never get stabbed.
Yeah. I hope. You know what I hope? Yeah. I never. And if you haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, I recommend it. It was a real thrill ride.
Yeah, yes. I want to see that.
But here's a spoiler alert. So if this was going to bug you, don't listen.
Okay.
For the next 15 seconds. It has those things that makes me so angry in a movie where suddenly someone gets T-boned in their car. It's like a real life car accident.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. That's what I hope doesn't happen to me because it makes me so mad. Like when that happens in a
movie.
When
they surprise the shit out of you.
And it's so fucking loud and it's so real.
Yeah.
It's
glass everywhere.
Yeah.
That's why I was watching a TV show the other day and it, like, there was no car accident in it. There was no reason for me to, it's like a togetherness on HBO. Like, there's no reason for there to be a car accident. But the guy was not looking at the road so much that I couldn't concentrate on what they were saying because I was waiting for them to get fucking T-boned. Look at the road or like have this conversation and not a car.
Yes. Or just people have conversations looking forward all the time.
Yeah.
Wait. Albert Fish molested how many kids? Hundreds, right?
Yeah. He says that he one time stated the number was about 100. He confessed to molesting more than 400 children over 20 years. So he's probably lying.
How does he even get around that many kids?
I mean,
although he did have 6 of his own.
Right. But supposedly he didn't, quote, abuse them. But what does that mean?
Well, but their friends would come. I mean,
right.
He's having paddling sessions.
Really weird too is that his wife left him and left the children. Do you think she was just so? I mean, who the fuck leaves their children with what is probably a psychopath, and she knows it?
Yeah, that's horrifying. Only, or she was just like, I got to get out. But you
gotta wonder what
happened.
Like, someone we know is an ancestor of Albert Fish, because we've been to New York a lot.
That's right.
We know a lot of people.
That's true. Like, he probably still has, but that, you know, they all changed their name. This guy's so famous.
But probably, like, there's someone who's like a third cousin.
I want to talk about how weird it is. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was like, I don't know what cousin, third great cousin. I don't know.
Yeah, some distant relative. Yeah. Just how weird it is that somebody would get off on eating someone.
Yeah.
What connection, like when people get molested and then they become molesters, it's because it happened to them. It's association or whatever. But like, you've never eaten a person before the first time you eat a person.
I would imagine in my mind, it's this narcissistic, it's the ultimate taboo.
Yes, that's true. And you're going to break it.
Yeah. And that this means you're on top. Somehow,
yeah, that's true.
Especially a child. That's what really about this cannibalism thing is, like, so many parents who've eaten their children that I, like, couldn't. It was very hard for me to pick one.
Yeah.
Just one.
That's very true. Also, you know, it's interesting. Have you ever heard of the family Sawney Bean, which was the Scottish family that lived in a huge cave, and they would, this was like in the 1600s, I think.
Oh my God, no.
And they would pick travelers off of the road, and so people would go and disappear in like the I can't remember, it was like the Scottish Highlands or Northern England. Mm-hmm. And they end up, the cops find this cave, and it's this huge family and all these bones, and basically they are just eating people or whatever. And so for years I heard the story and was like, that's so fascinating, they should make a movie about it, blah blah blah. I think they may have tried to. Well, of course, because this is the era that we live in now, it's always the era of that didn't really happen. Mm-hmm. And apparently that was the whole Sawney Bean family lore. Mm-hmm. Was made up by the British, like British mm-hmm. political people, to be like, this is what the Scottish are like. So that's why they need to be
savages.
Yeah, they're savages. They need to be invaded and they need to be ruled.
Not surprised by that at all.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord, that scared the shit out of me. Hi, Vince. Come in.
Hi.
Oh, we're talking about cannibals, and then the door unlocked, and and pizza came in. Hi.
That's how they get you. They open the door with a key.
Karen, did that scare you?
It scared me a lot.
Okay, I'm going to read you a couple things. Or should we save it for the mini-sode?
No, do it.
Okay. So I was watching a murder show today, 48 Hours on ID, and they said something that made me laugh, and so I put it on the Facebook group, and I said, does this make you guys laugh? What makes you laugh? And it was that they quote said, life seemed to move a little slower there, when they were describing the town in which this, like, fucking grisly murder happened.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, if life seems to move a little slower in your town, chances are someone's going to get murdered. And I said, what are other classic triggers? And here's what some people wrote. So, like, the things that they say in these murders. So think of this as in Keith
Morrison's
voice. Quiet and unassuming means they're going to be killing people. He mostly kept to himself. Is deaf a murderer?
Yeah.
This is what people wrote. She lit up a room when she walked in. You're going to get murdered. He was such a nice guy. Totes murderer. She really did get along with everyone.
Murdered.
Vivacious. Murdered. Full of potential. Murdered as hell. Mm-hmm. Unassuming equals assume murder. Very successful father plus charity volunteering, tennis playing mom equals one of the kids is going to off them for the money.
Yes.
She had everything going for her. If someone has suffered years of bad luck and shitty life circumstances only to find that lately everything is working out and that life is indeed worth living.
Murder.
quote, from the outside, it was picture perfect equals dad is stealing money and everyone is about to be murdered.
Yes.
If she loves to run, she's going to get murdered.
Like jogging.
Yeah. She had just turned her life around. She got off drugs, got sober, and got a very good job equals she's a goner.
Yes.
Yeah. If he'd give you the shirt off his back, he's going to get murdered.
Yeah, he is.
Someone wrote, whirlwind romance equals Molly, you in danger, girl. Instant best friends with everyone, never met a stranger means says every Dateline opening ever. Never met a stranger. Meet a fucking stranger every now and then.
You
dude.
Do it all. You know what? You should meet strangers. You're an idiot.
Someone says, it was such a nice night for sleeping with the windows open. And then I'll read one more. Oh, he loved her very much and wanted to show her the view from his favorite mountain peak / hiking trail. And so that your smile better not light up a room.
Oh, that's so true. My version of that, but it's not going to be the poetic version, but it's just basically the guy that's the doctor.
Yeah.
Any doctor on any of those shows.
Yeah. It's always the doctor.
They always kill everybody.
The like super nice doctor with the rich wife. Maybe she comes from a rich family and like, why are you getting
into medical school?
Yes.
Yeah. And then he's got a 21-year-old and he's going to kill his wife.
If one of the married couple got the other one into debt, the one who got into debt is going to kill the other one.
Yes. The one who owes. Yep.
Yep. Does the deed.
Yeah. Why not? Just kill him.
So that means everyone get into debt before your loved one can. So they don't kill you.
It's a race to the bottom.
If you're worth nothing to them, why would they kill you? And ask for no money when you divorce them.
Oh.
Otherwise, you're going to die.
That's hilarious.
This is what we learned.
That's like City Confidential isn't on anymore, but that's I used to love that one because the narrator was like, it was a sleepy little town.
Sleepy little enclave. It's always an enclave.
It was an enclave, and he always sounded a little drunk, which I loved. Well, that was the guy that was from Star Wars.
Was it really?
Yes.
Shit, I didn't know that. Well, should we tell everyone where to find us?
Yes.
Okay. We are at, what's your address?
My home address is Karen Kilgariff at Twitter.
Karen Kilgariff at Twitter. Hardstark at Twitter. We're at MyFaveMurder.
MyFaveMurder.
At Twitter. And then you can email us your hometown murder, which we're probably going to do a little episode eventually of a bunch of your stories at MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com. And please join the Facebook group at MyFavoriteMurder Facebook group. I don't know. It's a closed group, so you have to join to fucking get in to the murder action.
Oh, and here's an important thing that was making me laugh. People wrote this a lot. If you are from Canada or the UK or Europe of any kind,
oh yeah,
there's no you in favorite, you fool.
People kept writing, well, I didn't realize you guys spelled favorite incorrectly.
Incorrectly.
I know, like, yeah, fair enough.
Fine.
I mean, we spelled it second, so.
We already kissed their ass in the beginning for listening.
You know what? We saved your asses in Vietnam. No, I'm kidding. That doesn't even mean anything. What if I believe that?
Vietnam!
We saved your asses in Vietnam, in the Korean War. We saved you.
That's the best. That is the best thing to say to somebody.
A French person? We saved your ass.
Oh, I thought you were talking about our listeners. You know, you guys, we saved your asses in Vietnam.
Yeah. But to say to a French person who has to hear that about World War II all the time.
Yep.
Which isn't true.
And you just get the war wrong.
Yeah. Completely wrong.
I love it.
We saved your asses in the Civil War.
You should be thanking me.
You should be thanking me for your freedom.
I think that's all, right?
That's everything.
Oh, tonight's the last episode of The Simpsons.
It's AKA
over,
the
girl.
People versus OJ Simpson. We're gonna watch that.
Molly, you
so
in danger,
hard.
Girl.
You in danger, girl.
OJ, you in danger, girl.
Okay, we're gonna watch. We're both gonna watch that, and then we're gonna talk about it next week.
Yes,
because I bet it's gonna be good. Do you think he gets off?
So what if he does? What if they take it in a new direction?
I mean, why the fuck not?
It's a creative reimagining.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us.
Thanks for listening so much. Please rate, review, and subscribe, and tell a friend about it.
Yeah,
and most of all.
Stay sexy.
Okay. Bye.
We saved you in Vietnam.
Bye.